Welcome to Buddy Read Podcast.
I'm Kim.
And I'm Nia.
And we're roommates.
And we're best friends. Thank you very much.
I mean, we're both.
Exactly. Therefore, mention it.
Okay. We also love to listen to audiobooks.
Recently, we started Buddy Reading.
Or is it listening?
Buddy listen? Buddy Reading? You know what? It's whichever.
Right. And we wanted to share our thoughts.
Yep. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
So sit back.
Relax.
Because Buddy Read starts now. Welcome to episode 30.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, you all.
We've made it to 30.
We've made it to 30 episodes.
That's crazy.
In like, it took us, what, 2 years to get to
okay, but 30? You know, things happened.
Yes, of course.
All that matters is that we're here.
Right. And for today's episode, we'll be discussing Savvy Sheldon Feels Good as Hell by Taj McCoy.
Yes.
I'm not gonna lie, it took me a minute to realize that I think this was on purpose, but I had Lizzo's Good as Hell on a loop.
Feeling good as hell.
Baby, how you feeling? I had that in, like, as soon as I think at one point, I think I was like halfway through the book, and I was like, feel good as hell, feeling good as hell. And so then the song just kept playing. As I was listening to it, the song was just kind of playing in my mind.
You know what? It's a good song to go with the book.
Right. I mean, hello. It's Lizzo.
Hello.
We are super excited to jump in to our review and discussion of this book. But first, let's go to the synopsis. A delicious, curvy romance about a plus-size sweetheart who gets a full life makeover after a brutal breakup. Savvy Sheldon spends a lot of time tiptoeing around the cracks in her life. Her high stress and low thanks job, her clueless boyfriend, and the falling apart kitchen she inherited from her beloved grandma, who taught her how to cook and how to love people by feeding them. But when Savvy's world starts to crash down around her, she knows it's time for some renovations. Starting from the outside in, Savvy tackles her crumbling kitchen, her relationship with her body, her work-life balance, or lack thereof, and last but not least, her love life. The only thing that doesn't seem to require effort is her ride-or-die squad of friends. But as any home Reno show junkie can tell you, something always falls apart during renovations. First, Savvy passes out during hot yoga. Then, it turns out that the contractor she hires is the same sexy stranger she unintentionally offended by judging based on appearances. Worst of all, Savvy can't seem to go anywhere without tripping over her ex and his latest upgrade. Savvy begins to realize that maybe she should have started her renovations the other way around, beginning with how she sees herself before building a love that lasts.
Disclaimer, this is a spoilery episode. If you haven't read the book we're discussing yet, check back in with us once you have. For this review, we'll be focusing on the great, the good, and the bad.
Yeah, I had an interesting time and an interesting journey with this book.
I'm looking forward to us talking about this.
I know. Then. I've been wanting to like sneak tell you things, but we have a very strong policy that we do not talk about the book before we're on mic.
Exactly. So I've had to stay quiet.
Mute.
And mute. That's what I was going to say. I've had to stay quiet and keep all my
thoughts, emotions, feelings, all of the things.
And stay blank. Every time we mention it, like in passing, I'm like, oh, okay.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about it.
We were like passing cars on a highway. Like, did you read? Yeah. Yeah, me too. Okay, cool.
But yeah, let's jump right in. My great.
Yes. So for your greats.
For my greats, I had three.
Okay.
First one being the plot. I thought the plot was realistic in a sense. Okay. So when it comes to Savvy and Jason, I thought the plot was realistic because I feel like more times than not, as women tend to stay in relationships with SHIT men.
Yup.
Not even just to say that they have a man, but just to feel like they do have a man.
Yeah.
Even if that man isn't giving them the love and care or even respect that they're due.
Yeah.
I feel like they tend to stay in these relationships. And when it does crumble, because more times than not, it does crumble, it's so hard for them to rebuild and relearn themselves.
Yeah.
So I feel like that plot line right there was, It was great to me.
It was
and realistic.
Realistic, yeah. And relatable to a certain
degree. That's the word. Relatable, yeah. Y'all. That's the word. Relatable.
just a little bit of backstory. Jason is Savvy's ex-boyfriend.
Yes.
Really, that's all the backstory that I need to say. I just realized because you really didn't say much. But yes, backstory is Jason is the ex-boyfriend, not the romance hero of the story.
Right. Okay, so yeah, yes. That was my first grade. Uh-huh. My second grade is Savvy's growth throughout the book. I think she went from this insecure plus size woman who was basically allowing everyone to kind of roll over her
and treat her
and treat her like, really bad, you know, whether, you know, her romantic relationship or her work,
balance.
Yeah, the work-life balance. Yeah. I feel like that showed a lot of insecurity too. Mm-hmm. You know, allowing her mom to, well, not even allowing her mom. I think she put a lot of pressure on herself based off of her mom's like want to see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cause I don't feel like, I don't know if it's because I may be warped in this. So let me know. I don't feel like her mom was put in like tremendous pressure. I feel like a lot of it was Savvy, like needing to live up to like what her mom may have expected of her.
Slightly disagree. Okay. I do think that yes, Savvy put a lot of pressure on herself. Like, yes. And I think that's not abnormal to those of us who like, I mean, she's half Black, half Asian, right?
Yeah.
I believe it was Thai.
Yeah.
Don't quote us if we're wrong.
Right.
It's an honest feeling that kind of happens when you're just part of any immigrant experience in America. Your parents always want the best for you. So that comes with a level of pressure.
Right.
But I also feel like the interaction she had with her mom, especially the times that she was on the phone with her mom, which I think that's really the only time we ever got to see her mother.
Yeah.
She was putting a lot of pressure on her, in my opinion. Like, she was just like, are you trying to be, like, are you showing that you're a good worker? Because you need to excel, because you need to be in a secure place with this company, yeah. Or else, you know, you won't succeed or whatever. And I don't think she meant it in a harsh way, but she did kind of come off, in my opinion, she came off harshly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But by the end, it circles back to what she was really intending, like, yeah. Her intentions of why she was saying these things to Savvy. Mm-hmm. Full circle moment, but in the beginning I felt like she was harsh.
Okay, so yeah, thank you for correction.
not correcting. I mean, you gave your opinion and I gave mine, you know?
Yeah,
but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so with her mom, of course, and with everything that went on with Jason and her relearning herself and even turning into this person who cared a bit more about her personal well-being.
Yes.
Where I feel like that included like working out more and making healthier choices, eating wise, even just fixing, not fixing, but like changing her hair and rediscovering herself. I felt like what's the word? Like her character growth?
Oh yeah. Development. Her character development. Yes.
I felt was realistic, mm-hmm. and relatable throughout the book.
Buzzword.
I know, right? Lastly, for my greats, I really enjoyed Savvy, Joni, and Mags. Was it Joni? Because I felt like I was hearing Joni.
Yeah, it's Joni. Okay. As far as I know, because we were both listening to it on audio, and all I heard was Joni, so if it wasn't Joni, that's not our fault.
I know she also called her, like, Carter?
Yeah, it was her last name she called her, yeah. And then, yeah.
Okay. That was the whole thing. But Savvy and her two best friends, Joni and Mags, I enjoyed the way that they supported Savvy throughout the book and only really wanted to see her happy. Like, there was no, to me, I didn't feel any, like, you know, sometimes friends can be
well-meaning.
Yeah, well-meaning, but then they say hurtful things, yes. Or they try to, like, not that they try, but they end up, like, derailing your progress.
Yep.
I feel like they were always 100% Team Savvy. No matter what she wanted, if she wanted something healthy for herself, mm-hmm. I feel like they were always 110% Team Savvy. Even down to Mags being ready to like really fight Jason, like literally that reminded me of you. And I was like, wow, look at Kim in the book. Yeah, you're way too happy. You're way too proud.
Yes, I'm smiling.
But that was just like an example. I just felt like there were a lot of pockets of friendship that I really enjoy throughout the book, especially last thing, especially like the last date that we saw where they were on, I feel like it's FaceTime where she was trying on the dresses.
Yes.
And they were just like hyping her up. And I was like, that is such like a old school black rom-com.
Yeah.
You know, like Brown Sugar. Like,
yes,
you know,
definitely. I definitely got Brown Sugar vibes. Literally. It was like, it went, I think it was Mags that said it, where she was just like, make sure you arch your back, ho. Yeah. And I was like, yes. Like, I love that.
Sorry. I love the little pockets. Like, those are just my greats.
Okay. What about you, Kimmy? So two of your greats are actually also two of mine. But I think
which one?
I have three. So first I'll start off with Savvy's character development. I'm not going to lie, y'all. Savvy got on my nerves in the beginning. I actually really didn't like Savvy in the beginning, which was kind of the reason I said that I had an interesting journey, because to a certain degree, I think that was intentional in a way. Yeah. I think for I guess maybe my perspective, I was supposed to not like Savvy in the beginning, and by the end see her full transformation. And she had maybe one of the best development, like character developments in a romance book that I've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, she goes from being very insecure and being with someone who obviously is not good for her, mm-hmm. To deciding to take action. But that action was really based off of an ex situation, right, to it transforming to her passion, and for her to get back to where she wants to be and for her to look good. Like, yes, the Operation Revenge Body started off one way, but it ended up being the best thing that happened to her. And right, to watch Savvy go from someone I really honestly could not stand, but could also relate to, because she's a workaholic. I tend to be a workaholic. So I think the things that I didn't like about her, I saw in myself, and you know, art imitates life, all that.
Yeah.
But I think it was really well done. I loved everything about it, and I ended up loving Savvy. Took me a minute though. The next thing that we had in common was her core group of friends, specifically Maggie. So that's why I was smiling. Y'all couldn't see, but I was smiling because Maggie is honestly my favorite of her core friend group. Mm-hmm. Mostly because Maggie, I think, yes, I saw a lot of how I react to things the way that Maggie does, especially mm-hmm. for my friends. But I really felt like this book showcased so many different elements to our lives as like women, mm-hmm. in a way that, although I love contemporary romance, but I do feel like we don't get a lot of the core friend groups.
Yeah.
In the way that I would like to see it, I guess, like the authentic.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, it's that arch, you better arch that back, ho. Then I was like, yes. I do agree with you. I feel like they held her up.
Yeah.
But they also held her accountable.
Yes.
And they held each other accountable, because there was a situation between like Maggie and I believe Joni where they got into it over Savvy.
Yeah.
And Savvy's literally sitting there like, I'm right here. And I was like, yeah, that's some shit I would do. Their friendship meant the most to me. It's the thing that I sought after. Like, I loved when they went to brunch and would have like discussions and chats, and then Maggie would be like, girl, get your shit together. I love that. It was amazing. I think it was well done. Lastly, okay, I know that this is going to sound like it's just because I love food, but the food.
Oh, yeah.
The food aspects and the food elements.
Oh, yeah.
It was so layered that it didn't hit me until like the end, where it was just like, you know, we start off with Savvy, like, making food for Jason.
Right.
Which I was like, hell no. and then it's like, they you know, like I had mentioned previously, going to brunch and having, like, and she is really good at describing the foods that she's having at brunch. I mean, it's the way I wanted to go to a K-barbecue place. And I love Korean barbecue. So it was, but it's like, it's the descriptors and all of that. And then you kind of, you go into this moment of understanding what food really means to her based off of her relationship with her grandmother, which was amazing to read. And then, you know, then she takes a cooking class and she ends up meeting a well-renowned, or at least like well-known, local chef, which then leads to the opportunity of her creating a cookbook. And so it's like, it food was a part of the story in a way that felt natural and wasn't supposed to be the antagonist
Yes.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, that's sort of the expectation when we're dealing with fat rep in any way. It's like, it's the fat MC and then it's food.
Yeah.
And that's, and I really appreciated that it wasn't that. It was, yes, food is a part of it, but this is a part of life and this is how we'll eat. And it wasn't like, you weren't getting the strict dietary stuff all the time, because there were moments where she's like, you know, I want to eat healthier, I want to eat leaner, I want to gluten-free, all of the other things. But it wasn't a focus. That wasn't the primary focus to specifically to Savvy. And I thought that was well done. And that's it. Those are my grades.
Those are really good grades.
Thanks.
Okay, so for my good, mm-hmm. The romance. Mm-hmm. It took me a minute to acknowledge and accept that I actually did like the romance. But I realized at the end why, and I think it's because high key, this story and Savvy and Spencer, who was her love interest, give me Diary of a Mad Black Woman vibes. And I mean the movie, not the play. It's literally, I felt like I was looking at Kimberly Elise and Shamar Moore. Like, really and truly, Kimberly was not Savvy, but Shamar was definitely Spencer. And I was just like, there it is.
Yeah.
It was so,
it was, or even, Why Did I Get Married? Jill Scott and,
The one that she was with before, but
it's still
the same balance. Yes, yeah. Bald head was Jason. Yeah, I'm gonna call him bald head. You don't get no names, okay?
That's my boy though.
But it was giving Tyler. It was honestly giving Tyler Perry vibes, and yeah. I know we now say that with a little bit of a negative connotation, but there was a point in time when I really loved Tyler Perry's stories, same. And I love his romance elements. Same. And Savvy and Spencer definitely gave me those vibes. I feel like it was an interesting take on slow burn, because it was a slow burn, but it did burn, but it was slow. And I think Spencer was a very good contrast to Jason.
Yeah.
In a way that wasn't like, how do I say this? It wasn't told to you. Yeah. Cause you know how sometimes it's like, it's supposed to be like, yeah, I'm the good guy.
Right.
He was just effortlessly, in my opinion, he was effortlessly a good person.
You know what? For me, like, yes, I agree. But what they didn't do, which I appreciate, was that they didn't make him like the savior.
Yes.
Like that, you know, that savior compass where it's like, I'm going to do everything for you because
we're going to get you up.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he
was, I appreciated the fact that, like you said, he was effortlessly on the side.
Yeah.
But still
there.
He
was in the nooks, but not in the crooks.
I love it.
Spencer also happens to be a contractor. That's his profession. So when Savvy first sees him, she thinks he's homeless because he's dusty and walking around with this dog. So she's just like, homeless guy, leave me alone. And then it turns out, you know, he's a very good contractor. He actually ends up renovating her kitchen, and I believe it was a living area.
Yeah.
And Spencer, honestly, again, all around, good guy. He, in the beginning for me, was a bit forgettable. Mm-hmm. But then I started to slowly kind of fall in love with him. And I really fell in love with his dog, Teddy.
Yeah.
Teddy was so cute.
I'm done.
But yes, overall, I think it was done really well. I love that they come together, but it, again, like you said, it doesn't feel like it was like the savior complex. It was just kind of like, hi.
Let me add to your life. Not let me take over your life and show you what you can do.
Right.
Yeah, I hate those sometimes, most times.
I also really like the steamy scenes. It gave that like black, early, like late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
Feel like it was Brown Sugar, it was soul food, it was all of those, like anything that had Taye Diggs in it,
honestly.
And Morris Chestnut,
Taye, Morris,
Gabrielle,
Lorenz Tate,
Loren,
Nia Long, like
all of that,
all gave of them,
all the vibes. And I was like, okay,
right,
okay. I have two more.
Okay,
actually, I have one more. My bad, sorry. My other good is Savvy's uncle. Throughout the story, Savvy's uncle is really like her father figure, mm-hmm. but, you know, he has his own struggles. They all, the whole element of struggle life is kind of showcased through him a lot of times because, yeah. You know, he's living in his mom's old house, you know, and it's falling apart, and Savvy's trying to help him, but she's also trying to help herself. It's a whole thing. But throughout it, I every time he came on like the page or I heard him, I was like, oh, I love you, Uncle. Because he was just a loving character. You know what I mean? And he was, to me, he was an amazing father figure. And I would not be a good reviewer if I didn't mention him. So shout out to you, Uncle.
I feel you.
And that is it for my goods. What about you?
Okay, for my good, we definitely agreed on the romance. I really love their romance. I just, the only reason I didn't put it in great,
it wasn't like amazing and wowy.
I just couldn't figure out how to put it into work. Listen, wowy is the word that I'll use. It wasn't amazing and wowy because I don't know. I just
wanted more sparks.
Like, it wasn't as passionate, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed it. Like, I loved it from the beginning to the end. I actually loved the fact that she thought he was homeless. Because that's honestly something that I would have done. I think a lot of things that Savvy did in the book, I could see myself honestly doing it in real life. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed their romance. I loved Spencer's patience with Savvy as she navigated this whole new, like, life.
Yeah.
As she knows it. How was the lady say it? She had a new life.
She basically had a renaissance, you know? She decided to transform.
Yep.
And he was there. He was supportive the whole time. Literally, he was just like, I'm patient. I'm a patient man. I'm ready
when you are, basically. Like,
I'm listen, a patient man.
I'm so done. Hush, your time is over.
Sorry.
I'm waiting. But honestly, like, the patience that he shows Savvy, and also, like, the way he let Savvy feel seen and heard, I feel like that was something that she never really took into account of what she was missing outside of her girls, like, who really, like, saw and heard her, you know, as Savvy, not just Savvy the daughter or Savvy the girlfriend or the underwriter. It's just like she was just Savvy for him.
I will say, real quick, I just want to say I loved how from beginning to end he said she was beautiful.
Yes.
And I hated understanding, but I hated how long it took for her to see that in herself. Again, part of the development, and it's realistic real. And authentic. But I love that he was like, wow, you cut your hair.
Oh my God. I was like, yo, okay, Spencer. Why does she sound exactly like the voice on the audio book? That was okay. That's a whole nother situation. But yes.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. That was one. Sorry.
Yeah.
My second one, I focused again on Savvy going from this overworked underwriter who basically technically she fumbled part of her promotion.
Yeah.
Still doing too much for others.
Right. Backstory. Savvy is an underwriter. She gets promoted to a senior position.
Yeah.
I do know the title. I just don't want to mess it up. But while she's in that position, life is happening and it derails her and she ends up doing poorly on a presentation.
Yep.
And so because of that, her superior was just like, take some time off. You were already going to take time off. Take some time off and really figure out whether or not you really want to do this and you really want this promotion. There you go.
And back to Nia.
Back to you, Nia.
Right. I felt like she fumbled it because she was still doing too much for others. Because even though she was in a senior position, she was still doing the same work that she was doing as a regular old underwriter.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense to me.
She's not a good delegator, but
she was not a good delegator.
I'm not
at
a
all.
Good delegator either, so I get
it's
it.
It's okay. You're getting better, Tink. And then I just realized how Tink sounded. You're my best friend. I love you.
You're my best friend. So monotone. But yes, go ahead.
But yeah. And then to see her go from, you know, fumbling it to really taking time to figure out like what was needed and what could help and to doing that turnaround of, you know, becoming an advocate for her coworkers, showing how much, you know, wellness matters, that work-life balance, like just coming up with that plan. I feel like that just showed so much growth and being able to create that position basically because they did it for her, basically, right?
Yes, backstory. So by the end of her time off, Savvy comes to the conclusion that she does not want to be in the senior position. Although she thinks she's ready for it, she understands that there are more other things in her life, mainly her health, her wellness, and her relationship that take a bit of a more priority than having this position and having to do all and meet all these expectations. So she goes back to Warren, her superior, and tells him, and he's just like, well, are you sure that this is what you want to do? And that's when she proposes these wellness workshops, essentially, for the entire company that'll help create work-life balance, because essentially the reason why everybody's behind is because they're overworked and they're taking these days because they're overworked.
Right.
If we implement this strategy, then, you know, it's a retention plan, all of the big words. Yes. And so then it's basically a negotiation. She says that, she proposes that, and he flips back and says, okay, so you won't give up your senior position. Instead, I'll have you focus on this aspect of your job as well as the wellness retention plan, and the other aspect will go to somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just found that pretty amazing. The fact that she was able to kind of advocate for herself and for the other underwriters, I thought that was great. I mean, well, good, because it's in my good. Yeah.
I do also want to say that I love that Savvy chose not to keep the senior position, because it's so easy for, like, me or, like, us to be like, okay, but this is a senior position. This is what we're supposed to do. This is the next step. Like, I can handle it. I will handle it.
I'll figure it out.
So for her to be like, no, like, I want to focus on these other things. And I was just like, it's like when she said that, I was like, wow.
That takes a lot of
courage
growth and strength.
And courage.
Right, and courage. You're right.
I don't know. I couldn't go back to my mother and say, yeah, mom, I'm going to just take the demotion. She'd be like, what?
Listen, honey.
Support me, but be like, what? Anyways, continue.
But yeah, those are really my two goods.
Okay.
Okay, and that brings me to our last, the bad.
Yes, our bads.
For me, I had one real bad and then more of a complaint.
Okay.
So, for my first, well, my only bad, I just felt like the pacing was off or slow in some places. I don't know if that was just like the same experience for you, but it was just like, I feel like we could have gotten here a little quicker. But okay.
I agree, but I always put pace in bad.
Okay.
So this time I didn't say it, but I'm glad you said it, because yes, I feel like that's the thing that always drops for me in contemporary romance. It's the pace. I don't know. It's okay. But
I
agree.
It's like, this is not saying that I wasn't hooked, because I definitely did enjoy the book, but I just feel like after some portions, I was just like,
it's dragging. You're dragging. Yeah. We're dragging.
Yeah. But yeah, that was my bad. It wasn't too crazy.
Okay.
My complaint is this. I feel like Jason should have not been in the book after he left stage left and drove away.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he didn't need to be in the book.
Right.
We could have worked something out with Savvy where she was like contemplating something that he said in the past or whatever, but he didn't need to show up every day going where that she went with this man.
Yeah. Yeah. Flashback scenes would have probably been better. I agree.
But that's how I felt. I just felt like it was just overdone with Jason.
Yeah.
Like, the city could not have been that small, but everywhere.
She went. Literally everywhere she went.
She saw him.
Mm. No.
But yeah, that was my complaint.
Yeah.
What about you, Kim?
So, big middle fingers. Absolutely the most ginormous middle fingers you could think of to Jason. I hated him.
Yeah.
Hated him from the very beginning. He was an evil son of a BITCH, and I don't like him. And he was fat phobic as hell.
Yep.
Abusive.
Yep.
More mentally and emotionally abusive than anything.
Yeah, I know.
I hated everything about, to the point that I didn't even like the way the narrator voiced him. I feel like she did that on purpose, because I feel like she was trying to tell me, like, yo, you're not going to like him. So you're going to hate the voice that he has. Okay. Big middle fingers to him. He was honestly the most horrible person ever. And I hate that there are people like that in this world.
Oh, yeah.
And I hate that that's not abnormal. Like, literally thought of people like friends who've had exes like that. I've never had an ex or situationship like that specifically. No. That's just because I'm an abusive person. No, I'm not abusive. Did I say that on mic? I did. I just would not allow it, because I slap you first.
Listen, we give it as good as we get it.
Just saying.
And we nip that in the bud.
I will punch you in your throat. I'm just okay, because Jason, that's my thing with Jason. It was that it's the moments that I wanted her to, I guess, be like, who are you talking to?
She allowed.
And that was where I was like, yo, bro, I don't like you, Savvy, right now. And yo, we would have been squaring up. Sorry.
Yeah.
big middle fingers to him. My also bad, I'm sorry, another bad was exactly what you said. Him popping up everywhere.
Bro.
I think that was way overdone and completely unrealistic. I mean, I never encountered my ex that much, and we lived in the same damn borough on the same side of the Bronx.
Right.
How exactly is she encountering this man everywhere she goes? It was overdone. I hated it. I really feel like the flashback scenes and the flashback elements to their relationship would have been better.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's also because I really just don't like him. And it's like the popping up with the other women. Like, what?
Like, what were you, you know?
It just wasn't, it was like, that was the negative element for me, that it was just like, see, now we're reinforcing this type of stereotype, and mm-hmm. I don't like it. And this is the side of the whole Diary of a Mad Black Woman, mm-hmm. because with Kimberly's character, when her ex-husband, or soon-to-be ex-husband, kicks her out, and she's like seeing him with this stupid girl, you know, it was like constant. And I'm like, this is just a little much. It's much. Right. It got to a point where I think I was listening while driving, and I was like, again?
Same. Had that same moment. Had that same exact moment while driving.
Go away. I think the only part of it that I liked was the pop-up text, because, you know, that's real.
Right.
When it's like, hey, I need to talk to you. For
I'm
what?
I'm sorry.
Go be sorry over there. Sorry, y'all. I'm passionate.
it's okay.
My next bad is really a not so good, but I didn't really want to make a section out of it, and that's the cookbook element. As much as I loved it, I wish that we got that a little bit earlier. Like, we got to that stage like towards like literally the third act of the book, mm-hmm. and I think maybe midway I would have appreciated it, because I this is a me thing, I like to dive into those elements, and I think that's why mm-hmm. I wish we had the cookbook a little bit earlier, okay. so that I could be like, okay, so what are you gonna put in there, and why are you putting it in there? But that's a me thing.
Yeah,
that's why it's not really a bad, it's not so good, but I'm putting it in a bad.
I get it.
And finally, I really didn't like the start of the book. I understand what Taj was doing. I understand why Taj wrote it this way. And I think you'll get that understanding really at the end. But it could be very triggering. It was like an onslaught of fat phobia. And
yeah.
Although I understood why, I wouldn't have done this in the beginning of the book. I don't think I would have written it the way that she did in the beginning of the book, and I think that that's where some of my slowness to liking it mm-hmm. kind of stemmed. I mean, like, Jason on his own literally was a nightmare, and then it's the internalized feelings that Savvy goes through and deals with, and it's not that it's not realistic, because again, I can acknowledge that it is, but it can be like an affront when you're just now open, like you're just opening the book. And if you happen to be fat and been fat your whole life, and this is something that you have to deal with, and it's like, okay, damn. Like,
okay.
That it was, I feel like the punch was pulled, not pulled. I feel like the punch was given too early, in my opinion. And that was my complaint. It was okay. Just, I would have maybe wanted to start off a little bit smoother, and that's it.
Okay. Do you think it would have been, or you would have had a different feeling about it if there was like a trigger warning or something?
Maybe. I will say that I understand why it was written this way.
Yeah.
At the end. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, it was kind of like, it was me like narrowing my eyes.
Okay. Yeah.
For like the first four chapters. I was like, okay.
Okay.
Okay. But again, I see why. Like, and I'm just saying that for people who maybe don't get to the end, because maybe that first part was just too much.
Okay. Yeah.
That's really where I'm coming from. I see the full circle moment. I see why she started it off that way. I wouldn't have done it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's it.
Heard you.
All right. So for our rating, I gave this 3 out of 5 candles. Okay. Solid 3.
I gave it a 4 out of 5. Cause like I said, I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't give it more because there were just like some factors that I was just needing to hit a 5.
Uh-huh.
But I did enjoy it a lot, so I gave it a 4.
And what about your steam rating?
Okay, for my steam rating, I gave it a 2 out of 3 fire emojis.
Me too.
I just felt like it was like grown steam. It wasn't like hot and sweaty, like like Jackrabbit speed steam. I felt like it was like that grown. I've gotten to know you. You've gotten to know me. I want to know more about your body. I like you. I'm a grown man. I'm a grown woman.
Yeah.
Steam.
Yeah.
If y'all get what I'm saying, it wasn't like raunchy, but
it still gave that essence though. It was like, it's still hot.
Yeah.
It just was like,
it was just mature.
Yeah.
To me.
Yes. I gave it a 2 out of 3 for the same exact reasons. So
yeah. Okay, so what about our moral of the story?
All right, so for my moral of the story, I have, it's important to find balance, keep a strong core friend group, and never settle for less.
You know what? That deserved like a round of applause. I can't snap, so I had to say a round of applause. Like, that was good. That was good. For my moral of the story, I said always take time to self-reflect and alter.
Okay.
Because I feel like if Savvy had taken that time,
she wouldn't
prior to all the years that she was with Jason.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like
6 years. Can you imagine?
6 years of having somebody tear you down.
Absolutely not.
Because even though it wasn't straight up like, you big blah, 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 it was like he was literally tearing her down and she had no awareness, no self-awareness.
Nope.
Like, yeah. Could not be me.
Absolutely not.
But yeah.
All right. So
for our next read, we are going to be doing Portrait of a Thief by Grace D. Lee.
Yes.
I am really excited, y'all, because this right here is where I reside when it comes to shows. Like
movies, books.
Movies, books, well, not,
I mean, yes.
Well, you know, it's been a while since I read a book like this.
Yes.
But
it's a very heisty book, and it's comped as like Ocean's 11 meets something.
Yeah, and I'm here for it because I watched all Oceans. Yeah. It needs, yes.
Can you tell she's excited?
She's so excited. I'm like short circuiting. I need this. I'm excited. It better live up to all.
Oh, that's all I'm saying. And it better live up to all this expectations because it is your birthday month. So,
yes.
So.
Y'all. I'm turning.
We talked about this last episode. They already know.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, I'm 29, y'all.
She tried to muffle it. She was like, we already know, babes. All right, y'all. Thanks for tuning in.
And we'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts.
You can also find us on Spotify, CastBox, and Anchor.fm.
Remember to follow us on Twitter at BuddyReadPod.
And Instagram at Buddy Reed Podcast for all of our live reactions and updates.